Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is February 1st. Good morning. I'm Paul Perreault. This is Faith Radio Mornings on listener-supported Faith Radio. Good to be with you. Peter had his last day yesterday, but that means somebody had to do today. And they said, hey, Paul, want to do it? I said, sure. I'm Paul Perreault. And this hour, as I mentioned before, we'll be talking in the second half with Chris Martin, our millennial evangelical, but also a guy who just knows social media, and he's rethinking his relationship with social media. We'll talk about movies in a moment, but here, big weekend with the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, and how much are you going to spend on that? It says, according to some research, the average person will spend a little more than $80 on Super Bowl festivities, the lion's share being food. For example, the National Chicken Council estimates about 1.3 billion chicken wings will be consumed on Super Bowl Sunday. Pizza Hut expecting to sell more than 2 million game day pizzas. Now, if you're in Los Angeles, maybe you're listening online on the Faith Radio app or listening at myfaithradio.com, and you're thinking, no, I want to go to Boston Market. You can't. There are Boston Markets there, but because of the Super Bowl, they've changed their name to L.A. Markets, Los Angeles Markets. They don't want to, you know, they still want your business, I guess. So I guess go get some meatloaf or whatever from them. Also, a good weekend. I'm hoping on TV there will be some good movies, football movies. It's that time of year, you know, and I keep thinking of one of my favorites, not the favorite, but one of my favorites is Remember the Titans. Ever see that movie? Good one. Well, some sad news regarding that, because Julius Campbell, if you remember the movie, there's a young black man who becomes the captain of the team. Julius Campbell's his name. This is based on real life. This happened back in 1979, the T.C. Williams High School out in Alexandria, Virginia, T.C. Williams High School Titans. First year they integrated, and they went on to become the champion school in Virginia in the AAA state championship. It was an amazing story, but a week ago, Julius Campbell passed away of some health issues, organ failure, but an amazing story. An amazing movie. If you have not seen it, I think this would be a great weekend to do that. Since we're talking movies, we'll be talking to Adam Holtz in just a few moments here on Faith Radio Mornings about stuff at the theaters and more. The Hollywood Horns welcome us back on Faith Radio Mornings on this Friday, 9 minutes after the hour, and Adam Holtz is in from Plugged In. And Adam, any favorite football movies, I should ask?
Boy, favorite football movies. You know, I should have been sitting here brainstorming that. I mean, you sort of tipped me off that you were going that direction. You know, it's hard to vote against Rudy. I mean, Rudy's a terrific movie. Titans is great.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be the two that would be top of mind for me. Now, having said that, I haven't looked at our Plugged In review of Rudy recently, so I would want to look at it before I watched it again, because I'm not exactly sure what's in there. But I think it
was a good movie. I think it was fairly
good content wise,
it was,
in addition to being, you know, pre Samwise's football debut.
Good point. It was Sean Astin, right?
That's
a good movie. One of my favorites is, believe it or not, The Replacements. Remember that one, Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman? I swear.
I never saw that one.
You haven't?
I got beat on that.
Yeah, let me put it this way. Gene Hackman has two characters he does really well in movies. Either the bad guy, and he's very good at being a bad guy.
Yep.
Or as a coach. Because he did Hoosiers, and then he was the coach in that. And Keanu Reeves, I mean, it's not the best movie. I just like it. It feels well. It's not something I would play with little kids around because there are some parts that are a little edgy, but it's just a fun movie for me. So,
yep.
Now, what'd you think of Woodlawn?
Oh, I loved Woodlawn. I think of the many Christian movies I've seen in the last few years, that was another one that, you know, deals with the issue of racism. It's a true story about a school in the South, and again, I don't have it front of mind. But
school's called
really
Woodlawn in Birmingham.
I was going to say I thought it was in Alabama, but I didn't want to say that. You know, this is a great story. It's a great football story, but it's also really a story about racial reconciliation, and certainly in our divided and conflicted cultural moment, it's the kind of movie that I think definitely a jumping off point for conversation starters. And if I remember right, I think one of the students in the movie commits suicide. I mean, so there are some slightly more mature themes. It's not a kid's movie, but I think certainly for high schoolers on up, I think it could be a really great movie for your family.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the movies. So, all right. I hope you're ready to talk about Serenity. See what I did there?
I am ready to talk about Serenity, and do not think that your Matthew McConaughey reference just now has gone unnoticed. All right. One of my coworkers who saw this movie said, you know, we had this whole he made all these movies that got all of this critical acclaim a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's the short version. This is not one of those movies.
Oh.
This is an R-rated thriller, and he stars with Anne Hathaway, and he is a guy who owns a boat and runs fishing expeditions, and he drinks a lot. His life is pretty much a wreck, and one day his ex-wife Karen shows up and says, hey, got a proposition for you. If you'll take my current abusive husband out on your boat and throw him overboard, I'll pay you $10 million. So, I mean, that's sort of the plot set up here. This is a noir-ish thriller that, you know, one review I read said it takes itself way more seriously than it should. I think from a plugged-in perspective, we have a number of graphic sex scenes that don't leave very much to the imagination. Mm-hmm. We've got a fair bit of R-rated violence. There's a young boy in the mix who, you know, is exposed to some things that are pretty horrific, and a lot of profanity. So, I mean, I think this is one that, unless you're the biggest diehard Matthew McConaughey fan in the world, and even then you're probably going to be disappointed by his performance here, there are better ways to spend $10 in 2 hours than this one.
Okay. There's not a lot of new movies out this week, but one you mentioned was Miss Bala. So tell us about that one.
Miss Bala stars Gina Rodriguez, who some people may know from Jane the Virgin fame, and she's also voicing the new Netflix animated series Carmen Sandiego. And Gina plays a nice girl. She lives in L.A. She is a makeup artist in Hollywood, and a friend of hers is going to be in a beauty pageant, needs some help with her makeup. Friend lives in Tijuana, so she drives down, and they go to a club one night and find themselves in the middle of a shootout between a gang and corrupt police officers. So there's no really good guys on either side there, but she ends up getting kidnapped by the gang, and she desperately wants to find out what happened to her friend, who seems to have disappeared, and the only way to do that is basically to do everything the gang tells her to do. So she gets roped into a whole bunch of criminal stuff that's pretty nasty, en route to trying to figure out a way to get out herself and figure out what happened to her friend. You know, this is kind of an odd movie in that even though it's rated PG, it just had a tawdry, seamy kind of feel to it. There are multiple allusions to sexual trafficking, to prostitution, to drug dealing. There's no really, really outrageous sexual content here, but a couple scenes you think there's going to be. I mean, they lead up and then kind of go a different direction. And it's just a movie that made me feel kind of gross, and I think it's a good reminder that not all PG-13 movies are created equally. This is not a movie you want to take your kids to. Frankly, it's another one that I think not only are those content problems there, by the end, I was laughing out loud at some of the plot twists. And I think when I looked at it on Rotten Tomatoes yesterday, it was at 22%.
Ooh.
So I'm not the only one who thought, this is a waste of Gina Rodriguez, who's a really likable actress. This is a waste of her talents.
All right, 15 after the hour. We're talking with Adam Holtz from Plugged In, and, you know, it's not just movies, but you also do reviews of games and videos, TV, music. We'll be getting into some of those coming up in just a few moments here on Faith Radio. Stay with us. Faith Radio Mornings, 18 after the hour. I'm Paul Perreault, your host today. Carmen takes over on Monday here on Faith Radio. We're talking with Adam Holtz from Plugged In. And Adam, as I was getting ready this morning to talk with you, I went over to the website, PluggedIn.com, and what did I see but the Plugged In Movie Awards voting time?
Yes, it is voting time. Each year, we spend a very spirited couple hours on our team and kick back and forth the merits of the movies that we have seen, and we really focus on four different categories. We do best movies for kids, best movies for adults, best movies for teens, and best Christian movies. And so this week, we have been posting our nominees, and we've done three out of four of those categories, and the fourth one will go up a little bit later this morning. And here's how it works. We nominate five movies in each category, and from now until February 15th, you have a chance to vote on your favorite. And voting is a little bit informal. We don't have an official poll. You just have to leave a comment in our comment section or on our Twitter page, and you can tell us which one you think will win, and we will take into account all of those votes as we make a final decision. So for kids' movies, we've got The Grinch, we've got Paddington 2, Incredibles 2, Winnie the Pooh, or not Winnie the Pooh.
Christopher Robin.
Excuse me. And new Teen Titans Go to the Movies. And then you can look, I won't read all the rest of the list because it's a lot of movies. But definitely would encourage you to head over to PluggedIn.com. And in the upper left-hand corner, press the blog tab, and that'll take you over to our blog. And you can take a look at what we have nominated and leave your comments for us. We definitely want to hear from you.
So kind of a People's Choice Award, sort of.
It's a little bit like that. Yeah, I would say it's fairly equally weighted with our own opinions, and we'll kick all that around and put it into the Plugged-In Gonculator and try to come up with the right answer.
The Plugged-In what?
The Gonculator.
Gonculator.
I from a cartoon. It was a contraption that did various things, so...
Gonculator. I got to remember that one. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned, it's kind of slow at the theaters right now. Of course, next weekend, the big Lego 2 movie is coming out. At least we hope it is. And I'm sure we'll talk about that next week with you, Adam. But you also do a lot of reviews of things such as TV, which has become interesting for you, especially because of the streaming world.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, more than ever, there are so many choices out there, Paul. I mean, I grew up in a world in another time where we didn't have cable. We had three networks. This was before Fox and PBS. So you had four networks. And I remember when Fox showed up, I'm like, holy cow, it's a whole new channel, you know? And now we have not only hundreds of channels and hundreds of networks, but we have Netflix, we have Amazon, we have Hulu, we have all these streaming options. Netflix alone in 2018 had 800 original movies and TV series. And so we try to keep an eye on the zeitgeist and skim off the very top of that and review what lots of people are watching. But consumers are faced with this enormous just plethora of choices. And, you know, even if we had 10 full-time TV reviewers, we probably still couldn't cover everything that Netflix has to offer. And so more than ever, discernment and really thinking wisely about entertainment is incredibly important, because you or your kids may wander into something that we haven't reviewed and you can't actually find a review of anywhere because nobody's gotten to it yet.
It is interesting because the streaming world opened up so much possibilities because it's a less expensive means for delivering content. And so more can be produced on just the production side, and then the delivery is easy. But you're right. So it really is important for parents, for even kids, to develop that worldview aspect of how they're engaging with their entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. And we understand that there is so much stuff out there that parents may be interested in. Increasingly, we're really trying to focus on shows that are going to have appeal to kids or to young children. And so three shows that we have done just in the last couple weeks, and we won't talk in depth about all of them, but just letting people know that reviews are there, and these are all on Netflix, are Carmen Sandiego, Watership Down, and Alexa and Katie, which is a sitcom in the Disney kind of vein, although it's not Disney, it's Netflix. And all of these series are things that have some elements that parents probably want to be aware of. So, you know, if you hear your kids talking about those shows or you're curious about them, definitely head over to PluggedIn.com and check out our reviews of those series on Netflix.
Well, let's talk about a couple of them, hopefully. Mentioned Carmen Sandiego, which is interesting because it's back. I mean, I remember, 1990s? It was a game show on PBS for kids, kind of, I don't know, it was an interesting game show, one of those brainy ones. And then there was a cartoon series, and now this. Now tell us about it. And you mentioned already the voice actress Gina Rodriguez is part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, Carmen Sandiego, actually, I didn't know this, got started in 1985. It goes back a long ways. And it started as an educational mystery video game where, you know, we all know the saying, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? It was meant to teach geography to kids. And so, as you mentioned, it was a franchise that morphed into, you know, a couple different series and products. And, you know, like all things old, it seems like there's barely an old franchise that has not been rebooted these days. So I guess it was only a matter of time before Carmen Sandiego came back. This is an animated kids show that deals with Carmen Sandiego, who starts out life as a young thief in Buenos Aires. And she's known as Black Sheep, and she's training with this wicked organization that trains young thieves. And, well, turns out she doesn't make the cut. She gets rejected by this thieving organization and decides to become a good guy and rebrands herself as Carmen Sandiego. And so she is out to stop and to combat the organization Vile, which stands for Villains International League of Evil.
Okay.
And yeah, probably the biggest thing to worry about here is there is some stealing, but Carmen is definitely in the hero category, and she's trying to do the right thing at this point. And not too much else here to worry about. I think sometimes things get ratcheted up into content that we're like, oh, man, why'd they have to put that here? But, you know, some mild cartoony combat is probably about as bad as it gets here.
Okay. And then also Watership Down. Now, that I remember back in the years when I was in school, that was one of those novels that they encouraged us to read, and I didn't like reading novels at the young age. But anyway, that's my problem. But Watership Down is now a kind of a miniseries on Netflix.
Yeah, it is, and it's how to describe it? It's sort of an anthropomorphized dystopian bunny story.
Okay.
Laughing at myself. This is a story about a bunch of rabbits with personalities and the warren that they live in, but this is a dark story. Even though it's just rated PG, and you might think, oh, this is a cute little, you know, story about bunnies, this is a story, you know, it's not quite Game of Thrones for bunnies or, you know, Handmaid's Tale, but thematically, we're in some of the same territory.
Hmm.
The rabbits are manipulated. They're threatened. One is stomped to death. There's allusions to rabbit copulation. There's no nice way to say that. And so it's just, you watch it and you're sort of assaulted by this dark story that really is not appropriate for kids at all, despite what would seem like a pretty lenient rating.
Okay. Because, like I said, I didn't actually read the book. I resisted that. But, I mean, would you consider it true to the book or a little exaggerated?
You know, it takes the themes in the books and just kind of blows them out, as we often see with stuff, especially, you know, movies that are based on kids' books from a long time ago. But even in 1972, when Richard Adams' novel came out, it wasn't even really kids' stuff at that point. So this is one that, again, yeah, probably not. Or definitely check out our review before wandering into this one.
Okay. I was hoping we get to talk about Switchfoot's music, their new album,
yeah.
Native Tongue. We'll have to do that. We ran out of time, Adam. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So,
I talked too much.
No, that's okay. But, hey, Adam, thanks again for joining us. Adam Holtz from Plugged In. You go to PluggedIn.com, movie reviews, video game reviews, TV, music. It's all there. So, Adam, thanks again for joining us.
Paul, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right. Breakpoint coming up shortly. This is Faith Radio Mornings. 32 past the hour, it's Faith Radio Mornings, and if you have not been to our website yet, myfaithradio.com, I encourage you to go there because you have an opportunity this month to win the Truth for Life Spurgeon Study Bible. Neil brought one of them in, and it is beautiful, nice leather-bound Bible. It has notes, Bible study notes, sermon notes and such, illustrations from Spurgeon based on various passages of Scripture, but it is a full study Bible in the Christian Standard Version. It is beautiful. I wish I could have one, but employees are not eligible to win. But you are. So go to myfaithradio.com. We're giving away two copies each week through the month of February. Chris Martin on the way in just a few moments. Thanks again for listening to Faith Radio Mornings. This is Faith Radio Mornings, and it's 38 minutes after the hour. You know, yesterday, Bruce Ashford joined Peter, and they were talking about the roots of human depravity and how it can be the lens for our pro-life stance.
But we can't blame Roe v. Wade. We got to go all the way back to the institution of slavery. Our country, culturally, was founded on the horrible institution of chattel slavery, where slaves were viewed as property, they were sexually abused, they were treated as workers, wombs, sex toys, animals that were sold down the river, families were ripped apart repeatedly. And this was like an environmental disaster, I say in the article, on the moral ecology of our nation, a disaster from which we have not yet recovered. But we can't blame slavery. We've got to go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and actually to Cain and Abel, where Cain considered his brother not worthy of life. Cain made himself into a god. And anytime we degrade other human beings, we are making ourselves into a god. We are grasping for autonomy. Seeking to be Lord and God and the master of another person's fate. So I just think as Christians, this is the great cause of our day, even if nobody else does. Even if the right and the left selectively appreciate some lives and degrade others, we as Christians can appreciate all lives.
If you've not heard that interview, I encourage you, go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and it was yesterday's podcast from Faith Radio Mornings, Peter talking with Bruce Ashford, and it is amazing. So check it out again at myfaithradio.com. Coming your way in a minute, talking about social media with Chris Martin here on Faith Radio.
Granting amnesty, giving grace isn't easy, and forgiveness is hard work. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. We love to talk about God's grace. We sing about it. We thank the Lord for mercy in our own lives. But when our kids mess up in a huge way, it's hard to offer forgiveness. Grace is a costly gift, and it's most needed when it's least deserved. Parents, we can extend grace even as we enforce the consequences of our teens' inappropriate behavior. We do it by affirming the relationship at a time when they might be afraid that the relationship is in jeopardy. If our teens never experience grace from their earthly fathers, how will they ever recognize or learn to receive grace from their heavenly Father?
Looking for more parenting wisdom? Go online to ParentingTodaysTeens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
20 before the hour. This is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul. As we mentioned earlier, Peter Kapsner, he left the morning show. And Chris Martin joining us right now. Chris, we do apologize for not letting you know about that sooner.
Oh, it's all right. I just love Peter so much. It's sad to be losing him, but I like, you know, I like chatting with you too. And
well, that's
and,
good. You don't have to make me feel good. I mean, I felt bad because when we told you, it was like, no, your response email was just, like, for Peter, it was a work-life balance because he's a teacher at a couple of institutions here in the Twin Cities, including University of Northwestern, our parent company. He and his family own a private business, you know, that, and they're homeschooling five kids, and it's just like he couldn't balance it all. And so,
sometimes you got to pull back. Sometimes mm-hmm. you realize you got a little bit too much going on, and as much as you may love doing something, you just got to pull back.
Yeah, you did, and that's what. Now, just so you know, you'll still be hearing Peter. As a matter of fact, he'll be a regular guest on the morning show and filling in as guest host at various shows. So who knows, Chris? You may have a chance to talk to him again in the not too distant future. So
awesome.
All right. Well, as we get ready for Super Bowl weekend, Chris, we were talking off air beforehand about, you know, the reason they watch the game is not so much the game as to see the commercials, which are kind of fun. And I said, well, a lot of them are already on YouTube, but you don't want to go there.
No, watching Super Bowl commercials on YouTube before the Super Bowl is like opening Christmas presents long before Christmas morning. YouTube videos, I'm a content guy. My job is to create online content for a living, and YouTube videos is a whole different genre of content and media than TV commercials. And I think Super Bowl commercials are best viewed in their context of the Super Bowl. If they're viewed outside of that context, they're just kind of like awkward or cliche YouTube videos, and they're just seen as more as YouTube videos than they are Super Bowl commercials. There's a special category. I mean, Super Bowl commercials are special for a reason, and I think a lot of that has to do with the context in which they sit on Super Bowl Sunday amidst the biggest sporting event of the year in America. So, you know, I don't evangelize that. I don't judge people who watch them early or anything like that. I just have a very ardent stance I have. It's like listening to Christmas music before Thanksgiving. It's the thing I just don't do.
Well, so that kind of explains then, because Rachel was mentioning beforehand a few years ago the Puppy Monkey Baby commercial that I think was Mountain
Yes.
Dew. And outside of that, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. You have the old commercials with the frogs or the lizards or some of the great Geico commercials that have come through. There are some really great commercials that have come through from Super Bowl Sunday. But recently, you know, last few years, it does sometimes feel like people almost try too hard. Now, I work in marketing, but I'm not an ad executive or anything like that. So I'm going to say they know far better than I do. But just from an entertainment perspective, I look back at the early 2000s as maybe like peak Super Bowl commercials
mm-hmm.
time.
You're probably right.
More recently, it's gotten a little bit too, you know, flamboyant. I don't know, a little bit too much.
Okay. Well, I want to transition from YouTube stuff here and Super Bowl commercials because, again, YouTube, a big social media platform, but you know, there's so many out there right now, and our relationship with it, especially as Christians, seems to be, I guess the word is evolving. Now, Chris, there were a couple of articles, one written by your friend Trevin Wax, and then one you recently wrote. Which was first?
His came first. Mine came, I think, maybe a day later.
Okay, well, tell us about his article, because he was dealing with it. This is up at the Gospel Coalition's website, you know, how social media, it seems like it demands an opinion that we should have an opinion about everything but...
Right. And there's this pressure. There's this social pressure that Trevin identifies. And when he emailed me this article before he posted it and asked what I thought about it, because we're having lunch today, actually. We talk a lot about social media things together and kind of where we're going and as we communicate as a society and things like that. So he sent it to me beforehand and I was like, yes, it was part of the inspiration for the article that I wrote. And actually I was just looking at him. We released them on the same day unintentionally, but he was just talking about how there's this social pressure to feel like we always know what we're talking about, that we always have to have an answer for anything, and not only in posting on social media, but that social media and the age of always needing to be informed has also affected conversations we have over lunch or something like that, where if someone says, hey, did you read this article, or hey, have you heard about this issue, you feel like sometimes some people may feel. I feel this way a little bit. I think some people feel this way, that you always have to say yes, or at least maybe a qualified, oh, I've heard of it, or but I don't really have a whole lot of thoughts on it, but I have thought about it some, instead of just saying, no, I don't really know much about that. It's almost like it's become a social sin to be not in the know. And I think that is a problem. I think Trevin identifies, he says it this way. He says, perhaps this is one way that Christians can be salt and light. One way we can stand out in a world where everyone seems so certain and usually angry about whatever is going on. Maybe the admission of ignorance is one way we can offer grace and humility to a world drowning in its own ill-informed judgments. And I think that's a great way to put it, that simply just admitting that, hey, I don't know blank. I don't know anything about that. Can be a nice way for us to communicate we don't know everything subtly, not instead of just saying I don't know everything, admitting when we don't know everything about a particular issue. A lot of times people are weighing in on issues on social media, whether it be through a hashtag or through this or through that. Someone just asked me the other day about a hashtag exposing Christian education or something like that. They're like, have you been tracking that? I'm like, no, I really haven't. Maybe I'm a bad social media guy because of it, but I don't give a lot of credence to like hot hashtags or viral issues. The Covington Catholic issue that happened a couple weekends ago. I try to stay away from that stuff because a lot of it can just be so sensationalized. And I think this is one of the few wise things maybe I do, and I advise other people to do it, is when things like that pop up, let them develop and run through their course a little bit. And then a day, 3 days after everyone has gotten all hyped up about it, come back and look at it. And as we saw with the Covington Catholic situation, that would have provided a little bit more insight. And so I think in today's kind of social media landscape, and really just the landscape of the internet in general, that we should know about everything and have an opinion on everything at every moment. Maybe it's smart to, and we have to be intentional about this, but I think it would be smart to step back and say, I'm going to choose to not have an opinion on this for X amount of time, a couple of days, an extended period of time, so that I don't feel tempted to make it sound like I know exactly what I'm talking about in this situation.
But isn't there, sort of a pressure not just to post about stuff, but almost a demand, and I guess I notice this more on the Twitter side of things for some of the big Twitterers, tweeters, but it's almost like there's a demand that you have an opinion about this. It's almost like it's so expected right now. So to even slow down that process, people start looking at you funny.
Yeah, and so I'm not going to call him out by name because he's a personal friend of mine, but a friend of mine tweeted the other day, because of all of the conversation around abortion, because of the bill that was passed in New York, and then the governor of Virginia, who made some pretty horrible comments about abortion and perhaps infanticide the other day, a lot of evangelicals have been expressing their anger around those comments, and rightfully so. But my friend tweeted, he said, it's sad to me how few evangelicals have been coming out against this online or whatever, have been expressing how sick this is. And he's a friend of mine, and I almost texted him about it, but I didn't. But I was like, man, I don't measure whether or not someone cares by if they post about it. Because like, I haven't posted anything publicly about that stuff, but I still think it's reprehensible. I just don't see posting my displeasure on Twitter as needing to be proof of my displeasure about a certain situation, however evil it may be. And I think we need to understand that if one of our friends is silent about an issue, doesn't necessarily mean they think that issue is not important or that they think that issue is okay. But maybe they just have been busy or haven't been looking at Twitter or what everyone's freaking out about. Or maybe they just don't feel the need to post about it and they're just happy praying about it and thinking about it on their own. They don't need to project what they think to everyone else online.
Chris Marston, our guest this morning on Faith Rodeo Mornings. When we come back, we'll get to Chris having some thoughts about, well, I think his relationship, and I think, well, you almost can say vicariously our relationship with social media as Christians. We'll get to that in just a few moments. This is Faith Rodeo Mornings. Thanks for tuning in to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul Perreault and Chris Martin, our guest. Chris, I didn't budget this time very well because I'm giving you like 4 minutes to talk about your article that came out as a good response to what we just talked about with Trevin Waxhaw. Our relationship with social media, you really pointed out it is evolving.
Yeah, it's true. And that's all right. We'll just talk about this for a couple minutes. But I posted my own article about how my own relationship with social media has kind of evolved over the years. So to give a quick summary, I graduated college in 2013 and came to work in Nashville for Lifeway Christian Resources, managing the blog and social media of a few of the vice presidents here, one of which, Ed Stetzer, blogs at Christianity Today and has a pretty large platform online. And when I entered that space, I was immature. I mean, I was emotionally mature. I was spiritually mature.
What'd you call yourself?
Immature.
No. In the article, you said you used different.
Oh, I was an idiot. I was an idiot. Yes, that's a little bit more explicit way of saying it. So I was super immature, and I would engage in all kinds of silly, like back in 2013, 2014. On Twitter, we hadn't quite segmented ourselves off yet from one another. We, Christians across the evangelical spectrum, you know, more conservative evangelicals, more liberal evangelicals, or even those who would not identify as evangelicals, but maybe more mainline Protestants, PCUSA, those sorts of things. We hadn't decided to just ignore each other and let each other be different yet. At that time, we were all still fighting about the role of women in the church or what does the Bible say about sexuality, things like that. We were all – and some of that fighting still goes on Twitter or elsewhere online. But a lot of the fighting now is more political in nature than necessarily theological in nature. That's just me sitting on my perch watching kind of the Christian social internet, as I've dubbed it, every day the last 5 or 6 years. Early on, I tried to engage in those little spats, those little battles over cultural influence online, and it was dumb. It was sinful of me, and I kind of repented of that in the article. And since then, now I manage the corporate social media handles of Lifeway. So the Lifeway Twitter, the Lifeway Facebook, Lifeway Instagram are all kind of under my purview. And ever since I've started managing those handles this past fall, it's opened my eyes up even more clearly to how silly I can be on social media, how my criticism of things. I cited ESPN's handling of Monday Night Football in my blog post because I don't like how ESPN does Monday Night Football. And I, throughout the football season, sometimes I'll just kind of like lightly criticize them on Twitter. And it's just like, I shouldn't be doing that. Like, I don't know how all the things that go into that. I'm not a TV production expert or know what makes a good football commentator other than someone who watches it. And so I just kind of, it's a blog post where I reflect on my own evolving relationship with social media. And I've uninstalled a lot of social media apps from my phone. I don't engage on the weekends as much anymore, which is why, like, for example, I missed out on the whole Covington Catholic thing because I try to stay off of that stuff over the weekend because I work in social media. I'm on it every day of the week. And so I think it's just important for us. What's the broader application in our last minute here? I think the broader application is, I think we just need to evaluate our relationships with social media. Facebook had some news, plenty of news come out this week about how they're basically paying teenagers to have access to their Facebook, to have access to their phones at all times to see what their usage habits are, kind of as market research. And I think we just need to be careful about how much we're posting, what we're posting, and how we're engaging with people. And in fact, whether or not we're treating other people as if they bear the image of God, you know, that's a whole other conversation. Yep. There's the privacy conversation, and then there's the how are we using this to engage with other people kind of conversation. And I think it's a complex thing that I don't know if we have the ability to handle, but I think as the church we can come around each other and help each other with that.
Good thoughts. And now people want to read the full blog post. Where would they go?
They can go to chrismartin.blog, chrismartin.blog. Yeah.
All right. Chris, thanks for joining us again here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you guys have a great weekend.
All right. We'll wrap this up shortly on this first day of February. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio Mornings. Well, thanks again for listening to Faith Radio Mornings on this Friday. As we've mentioned, big changes coming. On Monday, Carmen LeBurge will be your new morning host. Mornings with Carmen, starting at 6 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Eastern here on Faith Radio. And then, as we also talked about earlier in the show, Susie Larson returns to Faith Radio. She'll be doing middays with Susie Larson. It's going to be great to hear all that deeper life stuff. Well, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl if you're into that. And we just hope Mr. Groundhog tomorrow gives us some good news, especially after this past week. We don't want to We don't want any more winter. We're so done. We're so done. But anyway, see you on Monday here on Faith Radio. Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.